right, guys. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to get started. We've got a reasonable number of participants who are going to be viewing this presentation with us. I thank you all for joining. This will take under an hour. All this is a basic informational piece that I wanted to share with everyone, since everyone has obviously shown in our conversations online that we are all, for the most part, like-minded in regards to politics and in regards to wanting to. One person who is not muted, guys, I really need you to make sure you're muted for me, please. All right, thank you very much. All right, and so as I was saying, we are a group of people who are like-minded. We communicate online. It's obvious we all share the same sentiments about the current political situation. And I wanted to just share some ideas, some information, some links, some resources that can help all of us perhaps be a little bit more effective in working towards this unified goal that we all obviously have. So without delaying any further, I'm going to go ahead and begin recording this call. It'll be available as a recorded presentation once we're done. Plus, I will also make available to everyone a PDF of the materials that we are using. Very quickly, I want to just make sure that everybody can see our screen. So if you would please let me know if you cannot see the screen, if you cannot see something that says August 2018 Resistance Teach-In, just let me know, please.
That's visible. Go ahead.
All right. And I'm looking for a negative on that. So if you can't see it, please let me know. Otherwise, I will assume that you can see it. Thank you, everyone. So we're going to cover 14 points today. Here are their topic titles. The first is be ready to be shocked, stop being surprised, and learn from history. The next is time is of the essence. The next will be stop wasting your time and mental energy. Then put your money where your mouth is. Then put your time and effort where your mouth is. The next topic will be protect your identity. Then know your enemy. Shun your enemy. Shun thy enemy. Make resistance part of your daily routine. Keep your head out of the sand. We'll talk about the immediate task at hand, which is to get out the vote. I'll present a recommended reading and watching list. And then we'll wrap up with find your personal level of resistance capability and then try to push past it. So I say be ready to be shocked, stop being surprised, and learn from history. And that's because this is not the first time that democracy somewhere in the world was under threat. It's just the first time that it has happened here in our country. So it's important that you stop being surprised and you simply have a level-headed response to the things that are now about to start happening that we have to respond to. Before this is over and our country normalizes, you're going to see things either in the news or with your own eyes that will shock you. You must steel yourself mentally for when that happens. Prepare your loved ones for the same emotional shocks. Those shocks are coming. You can be certain of that, and you need to be able to endure them without losing your focus, your composure, your will to resist, and your ability to continue. Just shake it off and keep moving forward. Let everything that shocks further solidify your determination and your resolve to see this through, because we are talking about nothing less than saving our nation. There's approximately 3 months before the midterm elections. That period of time is going to elapse in the blink of an eye. We have no time to waste. Okay? And you should get started today, as soon as this presentation ends. Get online, get on the phone, get out your credit card, get started, or please get out of the way. First, and this is something that we all experience online, We all communicate on Facebook, and we all spend a lot of time, and I consider way too much time, arguing with people who don't see our viewpoint. And so I make the following request. Please, I beg you, starting today, don't waste one more second, one more keystroke, arguing with some Trump follower on the internet. Just stop. It is a phenomenal waste of time and brain effort trying to turn these people around. If they are still supporting Trump, then they are a hopeless case. As a matter of fact, we suggest blocking anyone, and that's on Facebook, Twitter, by email, or even phone, who you know is still a Trump supporter. It's time to cut those people off. Every moment you waste arguing with what really are mentally ill people is time that you should be using to be as effective as possible. Okay, you're going to have to invest some money in this thing. It's going to survive, and if it's going to survive and succeed, determine what your budget is. This is no time to be cheap, guys. Here are some organizations that need your financial help. So what we're listing here is a page of what we consider to be legitimate grassroots organizations. The first is well known, it's Indivisible, and I'm providing links that you can click on. It will launch the page of these different organizations, and you'll be able to participate in their activities, donate money, learn from them, and essentially become part of their unified force of resistors. That's what these organizations want to be. So help them, participate, join, donate. We have Indivisible, we have Emily's List, we have MoveOn.org, we have the Poor People's Campaign, we have Code Pink, and you can probably find others on your own. But get involved, donate money, donate time. That's certainly, at this point, very much needed. Also, I recommend supporting a free press. They are under fire right now, as we know, and the best way to support them is financially. You know, buy a subscription. You know, make a donation. Support their advertisers. Do whatever it takes that helps keep them financially healthy. I've listed several that I recommend here, including the Washington Post, the New York Times, Mother Jones, the Capital Gazette, and the reason the Capital Gazette is on there, they are the newspaper that had the tragic shooting incident several weeks ago in Maryland. They really need our support. ProPublica, Politico, NPR Radio. You can donate to some of these. You can subscribe to some of these. You know, read their ads. Use their advertisers. Let their advertisers know that, you're using them because they advertise in one of these publications. And guys, feel free at any time to go off mute and ask me any questions you have. This is all part of putting your money where your mouth is. There are other organizations that also need your support. I've listed several of them here. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, working very, very hard in the court system to resist a lot of the executive orders and a lot of these very, very problematic laws that are being implemented now. This is an organization that is very effective. They have very, very brave and capable and talented people working for them, but they absolutely need financial support. The Dilley Pro Bono Project, this has been set up to support immigrant families who are being detained and being separated and being deported. You can click on that link and you'll be able to go to their site, get much more information about what they do and how you can help. The same with the Florence Immigrant and Refugee Rights Program. They do a very similar type of work to the Dilley Pro Bono Project. Again, click on that link, visit their site, learn about them, and see how to help. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, is a decades-old organization that exists for the purpose of monitoring and working against hate groups. So visit their site, learn about them, and again, see what there is that you can do to support them. And of course, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, not immediately recognizable as a quote-unquote political organization. They're a healthcare provider, but they are very much under attack right now and deserve our support. Just as we want to put our money where our mouth is, we also want to put our time and our effort into this overall effort that we want to make. How do we do that? Well, we volunteer our time. That's easy to do. There's plenty of ways to do it. You want to volunteer your time as much and as often as you can. You can work a phone bank or a text bank. Frank is on the call. He does both. Frank does virtual phone bank work, virtual text bank work. He can do that from home, or he can go into a group setting so that you've got that good morale boost that you get from working within a larger group. But there's lots of opportunity out there to be on the phone or sending texts or sending emails, supporting either a candidate or a position, whatever it happens to be. There's plenty of opportunity there. You can also contact the DNC. The DNC certainly will be able to put you in touch with your local candidates and their campaigns. There are unpaid positions, paid positions. Patty, who is on the call, recently took a job. It's a paid position, registering people to vote. I mean, those jobs are out there, and they're out there right now. It's, you know, we're coming into an election. The campaigns have money to spend hiring people to work on their campaigns. So if you need the money or you're willing to volunteer, both types of opportunities exist. You can also get involved through Indivisible. If you click on this link, and I'll go ahead and click on that and open it up, it'll bring you to a search screen where you can search for your local chapter, your local group. And if you look at this map, you'll see by the number of dots that are about to appear how many chapters there are operational right now throughout the United States. So there's many, many local opportunities to get directly involved. And as it says at the bottom, get started today. Literally, as soon as this presentation ends, if you've got some time, go online, get on the phone, start making contacts with people who you can coordinate with. And as I said, get either a paid or a volunteer gig, you know, doing something like registering folks to vote. Or you can organize transportation on election day to help get people to the polls. Critically, critically important function. If you've got a minivan or an SUV and you can transport some people, you know, go someplace where people typically have trouble being mobile, a nursing home or the inner city or wherever it happens to be, and find out how you can help get people to the polls, especially people who are going to vote blue. You know, go out and help in neighborhoods most prone to have voter registration, voter ID, and voter transportation issues. Be aware of where these recent attacks on the voter rolls, on voter registration, you know, known as voter purges. You want to be aware of where that's been going on, and you want to be involved in helping people make sure, A, they are registered to vote. They are registered to vote with ample time in advance of the election. You don't want people to show up on election day and realize that their registration has been purged, that they're ineligible to vote for any reason. They need to be aware weeks in advance whether they're registered or not, and they need to get registered. You can be part of helping those types of efforts. And then finally, there's active participation in the resistance, and that is getting out there in the street and rallying and marching and protesting, and also standing up to the opposition with counter rallies, counter marches, and counter protests. There's going to be a very unfortunate event in Portland, Oregon today. Two white supremacist groups are going to be holding a rally in downtown Portland. They're doing it to generate publicity for themselves, but also to instigate contact, they hope violent contact, with local Antifa, local other types of resistance groups, and people need to turn out in mass, in overwhelming numbers, to counter rallies like that and counter them peacefully. You know, nobody wants riots in the street. Nobody wants, you know, open warfare in the middle of a city. The best way to counter these cowardly groups, which typically are relatively small, you know, a couple of hundred people, is to make sure that our side shows up with thousands of people. So you need to get comfortable walking shoes. You need to make a sign, and you need to have a good breakfast, and then get out in the street. You need to get out there. You need to be involved. You need to show up. And the reason is, it's because the president, he watches TV. And we want to make sure that the crowds that he sees protesting him and his regime are as loud, as large, and as determined as possible. That is the way that in the past, regimes have been overcome by a motivated, involved populace. People have gotten involved, they've turned out in massive numbers, and they've been able to overthrow all sorts of violent, evil, extremist, strongmen-type regimes throughout our history. This is no different. So get out there whenever you can. Now, this is really important. The opposition wants to intimidate you, and their intimidation methods and tactics are very, very well developed. But you can easily defeat those methods and tactics. You simply have to be smart about exposing your identity. And we all interact on Facebook. I see how many of you display yourselves, display your identities on Facebook, and you're displaying information that exposes you to harassment. You want to make yourself what's known as doxing resistant. And for those who don't know what doxing is when your personal identity is uncovered, typically online, by the opposition, and then it is used as a means to harass you and your family. Doxing, though, is easy to avoid. All you need to do is not expose your identity online. After this presentation, I want everybody to go and take a look at my social media identity, my Facebook page, and you're going to notice the following key items. The first is I do not use my actual name. You can go and search my Facebook name on the web, and you will not find me. And the reason is, it's not my name. I've altered it a little bit, so it maybe sounds a little bit like my name, and people who I know from the past will probably be able to recognize me. But I've made it so if I'm discovered on Facebook or anywhere else, somebody cannot then take that name or other information about me, go online and find out A, my home address, B, my family members, C, where I work. We want to keep all of that information as private as humanly possible. And here's the best ways to do that. I do not use my real name. I recommend you do not either. Facebook lets you change your name, I think, once every 90 days or 60 days. I would definitely go in there and I would alter your name to something that is not connectable to your real name. The next, my profile photo and my cover photo, they do not show my face. They certainly do not show the faces of my family. It's the last thing I want for public consumption is for somebody to know what I look like, or even worse, what my loved ones look like. So I would get in there, guys, and change your cover photo, change your profile photo to something that you feel is a connection with your identity, but does not identify you. I also do not disclose my real birth date. It doesn't matter to me that people are going to wish me a happy birthday on the wrong day. I would much rather that happen than somebody have the tools that they need to steal my identity. So I do not disclose my real birth date on Facebook. I do not disclose where I work. I don't want people to be able to find out where I work and harass me at my workplace. I do not disclose where I went to school. I certainly do not disclose whom I am married to or whom I'm related to. None of those things are visible publicly. Now, to my friends, if you're a Facebook friend of mine, you can go and see my photos, and you can maybe get a little bit of information about me from my posts. But what you want to do is you want to lock down your public Facebook profile or Twitter or whatever other service you're using. You want to make sure that unless they are a friend of yours on Facebook or connected with you some other way, they cannot see any personal information. They cannot see your images. They cannot see your posts. All of that is available to you within Facebook's privacy settings. Definitely make use of them. But definitely, don't use your real name. Don't have photos of yourself. Don't have photos of your family. Don't put information that allows them to easily find you or harass you, such as birth date, where you work, where you went to school. All right. Know thy enemy. We all know they are ugly and repugnant and abhorrent, but you need to know who they are. The members of the opposition, they are filled with hate and they want to win. In any war or resistance movement, the key to success is intelligence about the enemy, knowing about them. Who are they? What makes them tick? This means learn and know as much about your opposition as you can. Learn their motivations, learn their ridiculous conspiracy theories. Get to know their political positions. Learn their tactics and their strategies. And most important, learn their weaknesses. They have quite a few. Now, I'm going to provide this document to everyone as a PDF file, so you'll be able to have this list. I did not want to put URLs in here, simply because I don't know how broadly that document's going to be distributed, and I don't want the Google search results for any of these organizations to be enhanced by a document that I create. So that's why there are no URLs here. But these are the organizations you need to go and learn about. You need to learn about the RNC, Fox News, the NRA, organizations like the Proud Boys, Patriot Prayer, QAnon, Breitbart News, InfoWars, Family Research Council, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, Stormfront, and the Daily Stormer. And in many of these cases, what you're going to see there is going to be ugly. It's going to be hate-filled. It's going to be repulsive. And that's okay. It's okay for you to have a strong reaction to what you're going to encounter when you visit these websites. You're going to disagree with everything, I'm sure, that they stand for. But the key is you've got to know that they exist, and you've got to know who they are, and you've got to know what it is that is their cause, what it is that they're trying to promote, and how they're trying to win. You've got to know as much about these people as you can. And you also want to shun the enemy. You know, whenever you encounter the opposition in daily life, you really have to reject them. I mean, at this point, the time to be polite, the time to engage them in conversation, the time to try to convert them, it pretty much has passed. They've been given an opportunity now for several years to come around to a more reasonable way of thinking and acting. And anyone who is still a supporter of that president has proven now that they are not redeemable. So you've got to stop trying to redeem them. So, this includes friends and family members. If you have to make them into outcasts, the time for heated political arguments or polite ideological discussions is now over. You simply need to cut them off until this fight for our nation is over. They're a distraction. They're a waste of your time. And as I said, they cannot be redeemed. Also, if you walk into a place of business like a doctor's office or an oil change waiting room, and they've got Fox News playing on that TV, in my opinion, you should immediately notify the folks in charge that you are going to take your business elsewhere. You're not going to sit there and give your money to somebody who openly is expressing themselves as a supporter of this regime. Cost them money. Make it hurt them. Hurt them in the pocketbook. Another way you do that is if you've got a plumber or an electrician or some other service provider that shows up at your home, and on their vehicle is some sort of right-wing bumper sticker or a MAGA sticker or whatever it is, don't even let them in your home. Tell them politely that you cannot support their business because of their stated politics. Make them understand that who they are supporting and what they believe in is going to hurt them financially. And then finally, on a social level or a personal level, if you meet a man or a woman on Match.com or in a bar, as quickly as you can, try to find out what their political stance is. You know, I know that they say, you know, never discuss politics or religion in polite company. The problem is polite company really doesn't apply anymore. You have to find out who you're going to spend some time with. And you want to make sure that if they are not on your side ideologically, you really don't want their company. I mean, those are people, again, we need to shun. You know, let them know why you cannot associate with them. Let them know why you cannot do business with them. Let them know why you're not even going to talk to them. They need to understand that they are being outcast. They are being shunned from greater society. Try to make resistance part of your daily routine. You know, when you wake up in the morning, literally ask yourself the question, what can I do today to help the resistance succeed? You need to be involved every day. Try to put aside an hour, if you can, to participate at some level. That might be working a virtual phone bank. It might be working a virtual text bank. It might be going to a rally. It might be, you know, going to a discussion. It might be going and working at campaign headquarters. There's a thousand different ways that you can participate, but try to do something every day that helps. Arguing with people on the internet does not help. Arguing with people on Facebook does not help. That wastes your time. You're engaged with one person for half an hour. You're getting nowhere. You're not going to convert them at this point, so don't waste your time. Most important thing to remember is that we are a team that cannot have any player sitting on the bench. We need each and every person to be suited up and in this game whenever possible, especially with the clock ticking the way it is. We've got 3 months. It's going to go very, very quickly. And it's important to not lose your faith in yourself or in the resistance or in what we can achieve. You've got to keep your head out of the sand. You've got to not hide from unpleasant truths. You've got to stay alert, aware, and informed. It is going to be easy to get fatigued, but you cannot let that happen. It's going to be easy to get disheartened and discouraged when we have failures. That is the time we need to most for you to stay focused and motivated. Watch the news every day, both their news and our news. Their side and our side, their viewpoint and our viewpoint, because you want to stay fully informed of the layout of what is a battlefield. I mean, it's okay to use battlefield and warlike terminology in what we're discussing, because that's what this is. They see it this way. The opposition definitely sees this as a battle, as a war, that they are convinced they're going to win. We have to look at it exactly the same way. Know every day where you can best aid the resistance. Please stay on target. So the immediate task at hand is to get out the vote. We have 3 months to go, and there's going to be plenty of other resistant works that needs to be done after Election Day. But the most important thing to focus on right now is the midterms. Everything that you expend mental and physical energy on over the next 3 months must have a direct connection to the midterm elections. Don't be distracted with anything else. Don't focus on anything else. If what you're doing and the time you're spending and the money that you're donating is not directly going to help people on our side win in the midterms, then don't do it. You're focused on the wrong thing. All right. In the document will be a reading list and a watching list. For the purposes of a reading list, please keep informed. Build your knowledge and awareness of the facts and the crimes and the ways that you can help with the fight. There are going to be different medium that you can use: newspapers, TV, radio, websites, books, even movies. Absorb them all. So following is a list of some recommendations. Newspapers and websites, the Washington Post, of course, the New York Times, of course, Mother Jones, ProPublica, and any others that you are aware of. Read them voraciously. Whenever you've got free time, in the bathroom, in bed at night before you go to sleep, on the train, during lunch, get online, read, absorb. You've got to be knowledgeable. Also for TV and radio, I'm sure most of you watch MSNBC. If you don't, start. You really want to expose yourself to their 8 p.m. to their midnight lineup. Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell. These are great journalists, but more important than that, they've got very, very powerful research teams behind them, and they're uncovering lots of information. They are often getting scoops on stories. They're breaking a lot of stories. That's why that's such a valuable outlet, is they're going to be the first place you're going to hear about a lot of things that will be in tomorrow's news. Also on YouTube, there's a YouTube channel for the Young Turks. Give that a shot. See if that's your cup of tea. Of course, listen to NPR. Listen to the Pacifica Network. Great sources of news reporting, but also deep digging investigative journalism. I've got some links here to some books that I think you should also be reading. The Resistance Guide, also similar to that, The Indivisible Resistance Guide, and then a book that is available on Amazon called This is an Uprising, which is written by one of the authors of The Resistance Guide. The first two are free, so definitely click on those links when you get this PDF file. Download those books and learn them, live them. There's so much useful information in there. 1,000 times the information that we're covering today. And then finally, there are movies that can motivate you, that can inspire you. There's two classic resistance films to help inspire you into what a resistance looks like and the sacrifices that are made. The first is Anthropoid. Anthropoid's a true story. It's about the Czech resistance during World War II against the Nazis. The second is Fantasy. It's V for Vendetta, but it's a great story, and it will motivate you, will inspire you. So it's definitely worth watching, and they're both good weekend films. So watch them this weekend if you're looking for something to spend some time with. And now we're going to start to wrap up and talk about something that is very, very important, and that is finding your personal level of resistance capability, and then considering what you can do to push past that limit. You're going to reach limits, and those are limits of time or limits of effort or limits of money or limits of energy, and you have to be ready to identify those limits and do what you can to energize yourself to push past them. You also may at some point reach a limit regarding confrontation. And this is a delicate subject. It's essentially how far you are willing to confront the opposition or even the authorities. Only you know where those limits are. Now, that confrontation, it could be something as small as confronting someone who you see wearing some sort of repugnant message on their vehicle or on their clothing or on their hat, and you feel that you need to confront them on it, only you know how to do that, when to do it, where to do it. Or confronting a bigger threat, you know, a mob in the street, the police. Someone's got a phone ringing. If they could go on mute for me, that would be great.
Hey, this is Rob from Power Praxing, and today I'd like to talk about playing modal bebop licks. The first two are going to be based on
video with the bebop licks, sir. If you could mute, that would. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. You know, so before pushing past those particular limits, the limits of, hey, I'm going to get out in the street and I'm going to put on, you know, an Antifa garb and, you know, a black bandana over my face and a gas mask and, you know, pick up a rock or whatever it is. I cannot tell you to do that. I cannot tell you not to do that. It's important that you consult with your family, your own conscience, and your own abilities, and see how far you want to take your personal confrontational levels. That's going to be completely up to you. You're going to have to be ready to endure pain, endure discomfort, endure perhaps confinement, tear gas, or a punch in the face, or a kick in the ribs, or a night in jail. I mean, if you really take your resistance to that level, those are the hazards. Should you shy away from them? Only you know. Should you participate? Only you know. But be careful about those decisions. You know, I know where my own limits are. And my limits are based on, you know, my experience and my life story and my own abilities and, you know, my level of anger. And, you know, I'm not going to necessarily talk about what those limits are, but, you know, I'm well aware of where they are and I'm ready to go right up to that line.